Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draw nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now try. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned up the dangers that lie in their path, but be not the mercy they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God. I'm a pilgrim on a journey, searching for a better land. The way gets rough and the trials so hard to bear. But I call on Him who started with me, said He'll be there to the end. But now I need strength, He blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that He takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at His command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of His name. And when I need strength, I find He blesses me again. I've not always been the best man for the Lord that I could be. I've stumbled, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, And the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. I've always been the best man for the Lord that I could be. I stumble, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, and the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his hand. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes,
this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Cadesh, fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment of time this morning, Lord, just to
if he thinks for the many things you've done for us, Lord, for the night's rest, for safety, Lord, throughout the day, throughout the night, Lord, we just want to never cease to give thanks to you for all your goodness and your mercies, and just pray you'll help us to look into your word and express the things you put on our hearts to say, Lord, of any experience we've had coming up through life, and you've honed us out for this hour and time to just share it with the world, the goodness and the graciousness, your goodness and your grace that you've allowed us to partake of in the closing days of time. You allowed us to see a crystal clear picture of the end time, how it's going to unfold right before us. You've given us the full counsel, God. All these things you did for your name's sake, Lord, we just ask that we will be found faithful to express the things you put in our heart to say it in such a way, Lord, it'll make sense, it'll resonate with the hearts of the people. Pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I was watching a movie yesterday, and I thought about that throughout the night. About this little boy practicing for baseball, and he started, I think, when he was 6 years old, playing baseball, throwing the ball around, and then batting, and then I think his dad coached him a little bit, but all his life started when he was 6 years old. All his life was consumed. He'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning to practice it, to put all his life in there, just to someday maybe, if he gets lucky, to play in the World Series and be a big baseball player. Man, living all his life, just as a young kid growing up, all his whole makeup was consumed with this baseball thing, with his batting and playing baseball. Then when he got to be 12 years old, the people were confounded. Is this kid only 12 years old? He played like he was a major league baseballer. And he got called up, and he was a pitcher, and he was a batter. He could take any place. His whole life was consumed. I don't know, I didn't get the end of it. Did he finally make it to the World Series?
No, he did finally make it, but he didn't win the World Series.
Oh. Yeah, mm-hmm. I finally made it to the World Series, but they didn't win it. Mm-hmm. So I thought about that. All that effort, not only him, all these football players, the effort they put in to be a football player, and at the end of it all they get is a lousy trophy, just a little bit of glory there for a minute or two. And then same thing with hockey players. Man, they're going to start playing hockey now just for that stupid Stanley Cup. I think about these things, you know, how futile and how much effort people put in. Even Paul talks about that.
Yes, he does. I can read it here.
Yeah, what does he say?
1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that all the runners in a stadium compete, but only one receives the prize? So run to win. Each competitor must exercise self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable run. So I do not run uncertainly or box like one who hits only air. Instead, I subdue my body and make it my slave, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified.
Yeah, that's what they do. Look at all that effort. I don't like sports. I sometimes watch it, like the finals and stuff like that, because it's contrary to the principles of God. It's all about competition. It's all about competing one against another, and then one group wins, and then the other one, they get jealous, and they don't talk with one another because they won, and this group didn't win. But in the economy of God, it is not like that. There's absolutely no competition. And because in the economy of God, the only thing that you and I have is to make sure we are faithful to what the Lord has honored us out to be. See, the Lord has a crown for it, but we got to, like we said the other day, you got to get that crown And that reward the way God wants, the way as it is designed to give you. He didn't give it to you by going out there and playing hockey and doing things like that and competing one with another, because like I say, it's against the principles of God. Here, it's a complete different chapter. You just pray to God that you will be found faithful, that God can use you for His glory, that at the end of it all, He'll coach you, that you will finally have you done coaching and you're obedient. It's all about obedience and self-control, that at the end of the chapter that you will have a crown of glory that'll last throughout eternity. And that's what you and I are about. We kind of bypass all that sports thing. Yeah, if they want to go out and do sports. But at the end of the day, there's nothing there. All they've done, they've just did for a lousy, stupid trophy. For the Great Cup, or for the Stanley Cup, or for all these cups. The World Series and all that. All it is, they put all their energy in, like that little kid. Started when he was 6 years old at the end of it all. And then on the way up there, they get broken bones and all kinds of ailments that they accumulated for themselves. That's why I keep saying, I don't like that competitive spirit. Behind that sport thing is the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit of competition. It's the spirit of jealousy. It's all these things, because if your opponent wins, he kind of, there's friction there all the time. It's not like where you and I are at. There is no friction, because we're just trying to maintain self-control and do everything we can to do the best we can to be faithful to what the Lord has called us out to be. There's no there's no competition and practicing self-control. You don't see people lined up to do what we're doing, because really nobody wants the job that you and I have, because everybody has to do something. You bought me some socks yesterday. You kind of bring in these things. But somebody has to make these socks, you know. Somebody has to put them on the shelf. Somebody has to have a job. And somebody has to haul the grain. Somebody has to combine the grain. Somebody has to dig for oil. Somebody has to do these things, because to keep to take things going. Otherwise, things would, if everybody would stop working, nothing would happen. That's why the Lord is allowing all these East Indians to come in here to Canada and to do the work, to do the labor for it, because the Canadians are all spoiled and rotten from drugs and all that kind of stuff. So God wants the economy to keep going. I'm dead against all these immigrants coming in here doing the work, but who's going to do it then? Because apparently the Canadian people, they're too lazy. They're not reliable. And see, somebody has to do the work, and there's people, special people that can do the work. Like my son, he's up there drinking for oil. Well, somebody has to do it, and you and I, we have this job to do. Because if we won't do it, nobody would do it. If nobody would be making socks, there'll be no socks to be to wear, and things like that, you know. But we're doing our job, and for doing our job, we're getting terrorized, persecuted, shunned. But that don't stop us, you know. The devil behind it is the devil, because we're in an avenue and a chapter that the devil, he hates that bridal chamber, because it's something that he wanted back in the day. He missed it, and now what he does, he sends everything he can against us. Just a minute, we have something to do with somebody, we fellowship with somebody. Guess what they do? They get away, and they turn around and see if they can slander us and lie up stuff about us. And that's why we kind of keep isolating ourselves, because behind these people is the spirit of Satan, because he hates us with a passion. He's attacking us day and night and trying to wear us down with bad dreams and nightmares and all kinds of stuff that he's trying to attack us with, trying to take our faith away from us, trying to stop us from doing what we do, trying to stop us from doing our job, you know what I'm trying to say? And that's what he's doing. Like I say, as soon as somebody comes through here, the minute they get out on the freeway, what do? They turn around, they slander us, trying to make us like that Randy. What a low life that fierce lady. We had him here, we baptized him, we tried to help him along the journey of life so that finally he finally dig himself out of the hole and out of the cesspool that he's in. He's demon possessed and he doesn't even know it. And then he comes here And he sends me an email accusing us of having sex. You know what? What a low life. And then you're going to have to apologize all around the world for living in adultery. And oh man, what a sicko. And see, that's what happens when people come through.
You can see how the devil can speak to him.
Yeah.
And just overtake his mind and just speak to him. It's and the people don't even realize that it's the devil. They think it's real.
Yeah.
But it's really the devil speaks to these people, and their life proves it too. You know, they all they think is I'm almost caught up to you, and a competition, as if Christianity is a competition. Christianity is not a competition like those sports. They compete one another with each other, and at the end they end up having injuries and more injuries, and by the time they're old they're probably all crippled up. Because I once met a ballerina somewhere, and she could hardly walk, and I asked, and she wasn't that old, and I asked her what was wrong with her, and she said all the years of being a ballerina took its toll on her body, because it's not an easy thing to do what they're doing. So that's what ends up being, they're injuring their body, and I don't think God's behind that. You know, I believe He's not behind that, because if you trace that spirit back, you'll trace it right back to the Colosseums. That's where they established
back to Rome.
Yeah, back to Rome. All roads lead back to Rome. That's where they build these big Colosseums to entertain each other, and then they entertain each other with the gladiators. Then, in the next sense, they brought in the Christians and got them to get killed with wild animals and things like that. See, that's all. That's the spirit behind sports, and it's an ugly spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what people really worship when they go to the sports game. It's not. People think you're crazy, and in a sense, it can be a good thing. People exercising and keeping in shape, there's good in everything, but people flock to these games. You would have, Brother Branham, towards the end of his ministry, he was down to about 400 people. That's how much it dwindled down.
Yeah.
The things of God, they're not interested in. If people were chose, there's something that's going on, like in the sense of real, genuine preacher. I don't mean a charismatic preacher. These charismatics, they can fill up the arena too, because it's basically the same spirit behind entertainment. These big auditoriums with people, and this charismatic preacher goes up to entertain them. I mean like a real solid preacher, like Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. If they would choose between those two, they would pick going to a big ball game and be entertained. And that's just a trend and the spirit of things that people navigate towards, because there's no accountability there.
Stadiums, they're full of people, and there's a football game, especially at the end of it all, at the Super Bowl and things like that. But see, what I'm trying to say here, we have, the Lord has coached us since we were 7 years old to go the direction that we're going. At the end of the day, we're faithful to the end. I'm still struggling, I'm still fighting, I'm still, because they got this rebellious spirit, that rebellious nature that, you know, that we inherited from Adam and Eve, from all these failures back there, from these angels and Jude, like I said the other day. We inherited all that characteristics, and we got to fight on a daily thing. As soon as we get up in the morning, we got to fight with the flesh and the natural man, because he's a problem. He's something that you have to fight with. That's why Paul said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Because they're coming up and they want to rise up. And if you're not constantly on the ball, constantly alert, constantly practicing, just like that little kid practicing for that someday be a baseball player, he's out there 5 o'clock in the morning. That's what we have to do spiritually. That's what Paul was trying to tell us, that we have a job to do. And you and I have one of the highest jobs to do. Of course, we're going to be attacked from every angle, and the devil, he's going to throw everything he can at us until we're out of it. It's no use thinking you're going to get a break or you're going to be able to relax, because if the minute you relax, he's just going to find an opening where it can come in. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, he goes around seeking whom he may devour. He's constantly watching it. He's constantly on our back, you know, constantly watching. So we make a slip, or when we kind of fall asleep, that's why we get up early in the morning. That's why we do what we're doing, just to keep our limbs all trimmed and burning. And because there's a lot required of us. We have a tremendous responsibility to hold on to the truth that's been given. Because you look out there, you look at all these people that were sitting under Brother Jackson's watch. What are they doing? What are they teaching? It's not fit for a dog to eat. I'm even scared to go there, because we listened to one guy one time, and I had a horrible nightmare. It took me till about 9 o'clock in the morning to get my senses back. It was so terrible. Just simply because I was listening to these perverts. It evolved into perverting everything. Just exactly what I saw in that dream, when I had that dream about the minefield. And the Lord showed me what they're going to do, because they're not following that stream. What they're going to do, each one is going to do their own thing. And each one is going to do what they're going to do. They're going to see how much they can pervert and destroy the things that we have been taught. And then the Lord, you ask the Lord, Lord, why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been harassed and persecuted and shunned. And he told you to preserve this truth. That's what we're doing. That's why I say we have a responsibility to preserve this truth. That's our job. Just like that baseball player. Just like that person that hauls grain. It's his job to haul grain. Otherwise, there's somebody got to haul grain. Otherwise, the grain wouldn't be hauled. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a job to do. But this just happens to be where the Lord has honed us out. And he coached us from when we were 7 years old to do this specific job. Because we have no other interests. We have no interest in the things of this world. The Lord supplies our every need, because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We don't have to go out looking for cars. I remember back in I drive through these car lots, you know, through the Ford. I like to like diesels, you know. Diesels are more efficient than gas, cheaper, maybe, anyway, they were. I don't know how they are today now with the price of fuel being a lot more. But anyway, I would just drive through. I was thinking about a car, and I was thinking about that. You know. Not that I was going to buy one. I was just looking around, you know, see what's available. And then one day the Lord wanted us to go buy that electric car. Well, I didn't. It was just part of that package he will add on to, even better than I would ever thought. I would have never come up with buying an electric car. But see, the Lord taught it. It's the best deal to do. It's the best thing to do. You go buy an electric car, because now we don't have to pay no gas. We just plug it in at night, and then in the morning we're good to drive around all day. It doesn't cost us only 7-10 cents a kilowatt maybe, which is peanuts. It only costs us 2-3 cents a mile to drive. But see, God knows best, because we're about the Lord's business. And I was talking the other day about how God looks after our children. When I had my whole world kept caving in, he chopped my foot off because he was trying to wake me up, shake me up from my spiritual slumber, because I was asleep. I was asleep at the wheel, and he woke me up. He chopped my foot off. And then my son got cut in his fingers got cut in the swing. And then my other son got lost in the forest. My daughter got a deadly ear infection. All these things came against me. I tried to pray, and I couldn't pray. And I knew I was alienated from the Lord. And the Lord let me know. I really came to know how little control you have over the safety of your children. And the Lord let me know. The only safety of your children, if you will follow me and do what I want from you, then I will protect your children. Because there's absolutely no way that any one of us can protect your children. I know that guy, that Eli from Pine Creek, he had his little kid, little 4 or 5 year old kid, he had that thing with him all the time, trying to take care of, trying to protect him. And here he's driving down the road with a tractor, had a little kid sitting on the fender, and the little kid falls off the fender, and he drives right over his own little kid. That's how much protection you can have over your children. I remember back in the day, after the Lord was had done dealt with me after I was terminated for telling these thugs how corrupt they are, and about that exposing that hard-right spirit, what's behind it. These people, they don't even know that there's a spirit behind them driving them, these hard-right preachers, that they don't know that they're controlled by Satan, and they're actually thinking they're doing God a service when they get up every day and preach a sermon, and but behind it is the spirit of Satan. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, the Lord wanted me to be about His business, and I remember I was down in Hastings Avenue, down where in the slums. I was handing out tracts to these prostitutes and to these people down there, and trying to witness for the Lord, you know, trying to tell them about Jesus. And here, I called home that night, and my son, I guess he was taking some stuff down to the dump, to the fireplace where you take your dump. And him and another kid was there, and somehow he got gas on him, and that gas exploded, and they just told me that when I called home, they told me about it, and there was not one hair cinched on him, because, you know, like I say, I was out about the Father's business, and then He would take care of things. I could have never been there taking care of that, because if the Lord don't build a house, the builder's building Maine. If the Lord don't watch the city, the watcher's watching Maine. And then my other son, he's up there, way up in the Arctic, and he told me about it, and he was way up in the Arctic. And a big weight came down from drilling for oil or for sand or for gravel, and the big thing fell down, hit him right on the head. Well, if he'd have been this way, it would have hit his shoulder, but he had a hard hat on, and it saved his life, that hard hat did. And things like that. I can't be everywhere protecting, you know, but the only protection that you have for your children is to be about the Father's business. And that's what we're doing. That's why we're doing the job we're doing. That's why the Lord gave us this responsibility, because He knew that we're going to be able to pull it off, because we have no other interest in this world. The things of this world have no value for us. As long as we're about the Father's business, the best thing that the Lord can do for us, give us an assignment. Lord, what's the next job? Who do you want us to see? Who do you want us to send books to? What do you want for us to do? And if He doesn't give nothing, well, we'll just sit here and enjoy the scenery. That's what we're doing. We're about the Father's business. Whether people like it or not, whether the devil likes it or not, that's why He's always in our case, because we're about the Father's business, and we're holding on to this truth that has been given to the people and the church here to Laodicea. If we wouldn't be doing and saying what we're doing, it would not get done, because all of a sudden, all these people, everybody's trying to make a name for themselves, and all they're doing, they're perverting it. They're not connected to that vine that you and I are connected to. The things that you and I say, they're real, they're true, and you're going to find out they're going to happen exactly the way the Scriptures say it, because we found it by revelation out of the Scriptures. We know exactly the day and the hour we're living. We do not know the day of the rapture. Some people, they accuse us, oh, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. No man knows the day and the hour of the rapture. You got to read the whole counsel of God. You got to read exactly what these people meant when Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. And but see, we're not talking about no rapture. We're talking about the day and the hour of the restoration of Israel. Once you know the restoration of Israel, you know exactly where you are in time. And that's what you and I happen to find out, because that's all we've always been interested in since we were 7 years old. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has coached us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has coached us throughout our life, and brought us to where we are today. And He found us faithful to deliver that meat in due season. That's all. We're just doing a job just like the truck driver. We would drive a truck for 7 years and delivering cabinets. And we did our level best to have them there on time and everything. And that's what our job was. Somebody had to deliver them, and it just happened to be you and I. And then the Lord took us off the truck just to do this here. Now we're kind of retired, and we're working about, the Lord's business. We're working for Him.
Mm-hmm. Like, we know how fast something can be taken. Like, when you look at this truth, how fast the devil can come in and just fill people with all that deceiving spirit, and they rear off to the left. And we know how fast that can happen. You can look at the early church there, how fast they went after the disciples passed away, that the early church, that church went into confusion with that water baptism. And we know, we experienced it here when Brother Jackson passed away, how quickly the devil was there to take everything. And that's why we want to continuously do this, because to make it, to keep it alive, because of what God has done and who God is and what God requires. Because these charismatic preachers out there, they're not going to tell you that. They just tell you enough to keep you coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's all they do. Like, and it really is one generation away. The truth of God's word is just one generation away. And you can read it even in the Chronicles. I'm going to read here something, how fast things can deteriorate. Now, Jotham was a king of Judah, and he grew powerful because he was determined to please the Lord his God. Mm-hmm. He was determined to please God, and he grew powerful. And God blessed him. You can see how God blessed him. And then when his son became king, he was a bad king. And what happened to him, his son, he went out to war and he lost the war. So what he decided to do, he decided he's going to offer sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who he thought would defeat him, who had defeated him. He thought that the god of Damascus mm-hmm. defeated him. And he reasoned, since the gods of the kings of Damascus helped them, I will sacrifice to them so they will help me. But they caused him and all Israel to stumble. See, that's it creates people to stumble, is when God wasn't in his war because he was a bad king. So God did not help him. He did everything to displease God. So God could not help him. And then the Damascus, they won the battle. It wasn't the God of Damascus that helped him, but the God, the real God of Israel, allowed him to lose. See, that's how soon something can mm-hmm. be taken if you don't put in an effort. Just like Paul was talking about the race, you're not going to beat the air, just beat the air. You have to really know what you stand for and what you've been given. Like, we've been given something so powerful in this Laodicea church age that we want to keep reminding people and tell them what God has done. And it's real. Like, he's real. He's not like these charismatic preachers out there. When you watch them, God isn't real to them. Mm-hmm. It's just a job.
Emotional thing. Mm-hmm. They work their emotions. Like telling you something about that John Hagee. And then they do self-glorification. You tell the people, all his audience, how he went to Donald Trump and how he told Donald Trump to make sure that he puts the embassy into Jerusalem. And then when they moved that embassy there, the people from Israel, they invited them over to the prayer thing. And he secretly, what it is, it's bragging about himself. Mm-hmm. Then glory, you know. Mm-hmm. He wanted the people, his whole audience, to know that he's this important person, that Israel called him up, and then he went over to Israel to pray for that whatever it was that he called him over there for. And then in the meantime, he's bragging that he couldn't be here when Trump was handing out the trophies, because they're looking for the 80 people that were the most relevant to help Israel. And he mm-hmm. was the third. And he bragged about it, and he told us the reason he couldn't be there in Washington to receive his trophy, because he was over in Israel praying for whatever. They wanted him over there to pray for this, so he sent two other people to receive the trophy. But he let it be known that he's this popular preacher, mm-hmm. and he wants everybody to know he's this popular preacher that's helping Israel. Well, it's just It's just vainglory. That's all it is. Right. They have a way of mixing it in that you think it's real. But if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you'd be exactly where Jesus said. If it would be possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And when you talk about Israel, they're just using Israel to because it looks like a good thing for a Christian to support Israel. And it is. It's nothing to, but it's nothing to brag about.
It's just something you do.
Yeah, it's not something
that's right. Yeah, it's just the proper thing to do, because if you want to be blessed, you support Israel, because that's where God will set up His temple. And you know that, like I was saying, that that's why, like, if a truck driver doesn't deliver his load, the load doesn't get delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do our job, then that job doesn't get done.
Amen.
And then the truth of the day and hour we're living it, that people will not be informed of the truth for their day and hour of what happened in this generation.
And that's what he's on about. It. Mm-hmm. We didn't do that job. Believe you me, there's no substitute. There's no somebody that we can push it off to. Like I say, there's no substitute for this job, because we're the only people that can do it, because we've been on the outline, like we said, since we were young. The Lord was leading us. Exactly. I didn't know why I had to go through all the things I had to go through in life. But I had to follow that stream. I had to follow that, guided by that unseen hand. I had to follow it. Otherwise, think my whole world kept caving in. Like I said, back in the day, I started to get slothful. I was starting to fall asleep, spiritually speaking. And all of a sudden, the Lord came down, chopped my foot off. And like I said, my family began to, everything became against my family, my children, and then the Lord's trying to wake me up, and I realized how far I'd been straight from the Lord. And I try to work my level best to work my way back to the Lord, and finally showed up, and all of a sudden my prayer went, and I came home one day, and here my little girl, year-old girl, was completely limp, completely lost her muscle. Her, can't describe it. She was alive, but she might as well have been dead. And the Lord said, Lord, what are we going to do about that? And he said, just lay hands on her and I'll heal her. And see, now I'm back against working for the Lord, because the Lord had found grace in the eyes of God, because I turned my face as a flint towards the heavenlies, because he wanted me to go up and speak against that corruption and utter, I think. And I refused, and I fought. Finally, I surrendered. Okay, Lord, let's go. We'll do it. And that's just been my life. And now we're here doing this for the whole world, putting the truth out, letting people know exactly right to the day where we are in time. And we go back to the scriptures. We all go back to the scripture when Jesus was here. When Jesus was here, he was that person that God told Adam. I know I'm saying it over and over again, but you have to say it, because you're dealing with seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and you got to combat all these forces. That's why we say it over and over again, and we go back to scripture, like I say, when God told Adam, I'm going to send somebody, and that somebody was that Jesus Christ that walked the sands of Galilee when he was down here, and he was that person, and then... He went to Calvary, and before he went to Calvary, he said, this is going to be eternal life, that the people believe in them whom I will send. And he sent these seven stars back in Revelation chapter 1. I say it over and over again, but you're dealing with a world that's so steeped in deception and religion that it's hard to penetrate. But see, we go back to Scripture. That's why we go back to scriptures, back and forth, and we're doing exactly what Peter said, even though you heard it, it has to be established in your heart. I know you heard it before, but it's got to be established in your heart. And for you and I, this thing is so real. We're so established. And then these seven church ages, these seven stars, these seven angels spoke to each one of these church ages. And we just happen to be in the church age of Laodicea. And that angel steps forward and he takes the vocal cord of Brother Branham and he begins to speak to him and begins to preach some things for 40 years. And then Brother Brent goes off the scene, and that angel takes the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jacks, and then he goes off the scene, and now he's honed us out to preserve the things that these people have been taught, and to top it off, he gives us the revelation us the hour and time we're living. He gave us that midnight cry, and we can back it up with scripture. The midnight cry is the middle of Laodicea. It happened right in 1963. You can do the math, and you can take the math. Laodicea began in 1906, and we're now in 1963. What's the middle of it? You add 57 years to 64, and you come to 2021. And then you got to bring in that Yom Kippur. I remember back in the day, you were on that on those seven feasts, like a Doberman. You know, just you, everything you talk about, what's the feast? And you made a book, and you put out those feasts. And now we come to 2021, exactly right the day, the 57 years on. But the day, we didn't know the day, but he came out with the Yom Kippur. It happened exactly on the day of the real spiritual Yom Kippur. And then we put it out there, October the 15th, 2021. And from there on, started counting. Jesus goes off the mercy seat. He's no more high priest. He goes on and he's sitting now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's going to continue until after the millennium. And just the way it is. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And he's doing it right now. This thing over in Israel. It's not going backwards anymore. Everything is going ahead. This thing with Trump, with cleaning up the country, with cleaning out North and South America with all these drugs and everything, it's not going into reverse anymore. It's all these thugs, all these dopes, all these dope pushers and everything, they're simply going to, within the next 3 years, they'll all end up in a lake of fire because it's a separating of the goats and the sheep. And you and I, we're the only people that knows that program to the point where we can actually put it out there because it's established in our heart. We're doing exactly what Peter said, until it had become established in your heart. That's exactly what we're doing. We're just doing our job. I don't know why people try to shut us down because they'll never shut us down. You can't shut the Lord down and you can't shut us up either because we're bound and determined to do our job just when we were trucking. We're bound and determined to get that load there on time so we don't get, so we don't disappoint the coach or the dispatcher or whatever, you know. That's all we're doing. We don't want to disappoint the Lord. That's why we're bringing out these things every day. Make it so crystal clear that people can understand where you're living time. One of the most important things is to know the hour and time you're living in. You're living in exactly. We could bring you right to the day when the day of the Lord, like we keep saying it over and over again, when the day of the Lord will come. When that great tribulation will come. Or when it'll end anyway. We don't know. It's already started with tribulation all over the world, really. Especially in Israel, where they shoot these people and kill and all that stuff, and happening in the States, and where it's a terrible time to be living in. You need the Lord. You need to be walking hand in hand with the Lord so He can take care of your children. You got no way He can take care of your children because it's impossible. Because there's so many enemies out there. Especially things, you have accidents. I've seen it. I watch the news time and time again. I see these people, they have an accident, they get burned alive in their car. Things like that. And because they have not sought the Lord when He was to be found. You and I, we sought the Lord when He was to be found. We did our part. We did, like that little boy, he did everything he could to get to that World Series, you know, but at the end of the day, there's nothing there. But at the end of the day, you and I, all our efforts will not be in vain. You're going to get a reward from the Lord for all our efforts. If we stay faithful. You got to be faithful and true. Like it says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Mm-hmm. I want to pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before You, give You thanks for everything You do for us, Lord, for what You've allowed us to see in the hour of time we're living in, Lord. We just want to be found faithful and true to deliver it to people and to lift up Your name and to glorify Your great name for what You have done, Lord. We just pray that You'll help us run the race, Lord, so we can receive that crown that's incorruptible, Lord. We just help the people, let people to understand, Lord, what You've done and come to the realization that they need You and that they need You in their lives, Lord, to help them from a day-to-day basis, because without You, there is no life. So we just want to I'll give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.